In this primer episode, we take a bit of a dive into our guest background, giving you a sneak peek into their origin story, as well as the challenges that they've faced and the things that drive them. If you enjoy what you hear, don't forget to listen to our main episode, which drops every Friday. And please do remember to like, subscribe, and rate us, as it really helps with our discoverability. In today's episode of the Nothing Ventured Primer, I am really excited to have with me in the studio, Maya Mufarek. Maya is founder and full stack CMO at Marketing Cube, where she partners with startup and scale up founders and CEOs to help define and implement their growth plan. She is an angel investor with Ventures Together, an advisor and startup coach at Antler, and has had an incredible career, including time at Google, notonthehighstreet.com, American Express, and Pharmacy2U, where she helped propel the business to reaching an acquisition rate equivalent to opening a brick and mortar pharmacy every 2.5 days. Maya, absolutely splendid to have you here in the studio with me. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. So let's dig in. To give our audience and our listeners a bit of an idea about yourself, what was your first job?
Well, my true first paycheck was at Russell and Bromley, the shoe store. I was doing an internship in London as part of my business degree. And on evenings and Sundays, I used to work at Russell and Bromley on Oxford Street. So that was quite, you know, beginning in the work life. But my real full-time job was with Cisco Systems.
Yeah, well,
the networking company.
I prefer Russell and Bromley if I'm honest. But only because I think there is so much to be learned in that retail space.
Yep.
You know, customer service,
yep,
dealing with very, very annoying customers, as can be the case, and yep, dealing with stock and all that sort of stuff. And what triggered your move into startups?
Well, I'm not sure it was fully intentional, to be fair. I was really keen on working on things that, you know, had impact and scale, really. I also come through a long line of computer science engineers, which I am not, so kind of technology was in there. And once I started at Cisco, really, that kind of pushed me into the world of Silicon Valley, and then why not on the high street? really, the kind of Google was hiring like crazy at the time. Yeah. That was really the first mass consumer product digitally that, you know, at least I was using.
In Google Search at that time.
Yeah, Google Search at that time. I mean, the story goes that when I came to my father saying, oh, I got a job at Google doing marketing, his comment was like, you're going to advertise a white page? which, you know, but that's kind of the stories of the time. But really, I was very early in their European team, and then I was focusing on EMEA emerging markets. And it was really fulfilling so early in your career to be, you know, building something that never existed, surrounded by great people that were willing to coach and empower you to do stuff. So that's really how it all started. And then that kind of sent me into the tech world from there on. And I guess because it was such a like 0 to 1 building at Google, despite the actual enterprise being much bigger, that kind of also sparked my interest in early growth and some of the stuff I did today.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. What would you be doing if you weren't an early stage operator?
Well, my instinctive answer is I would travel the world. apart from that, I have a great interest in human psychology, which I'm using partially as part of marketing. But I think if I had to do it again, I think I would do something in that field a bit more formally.
Yeah. I can well imagine. I like one of the things that has been, you know, I think for me a real wake up call when I first read Hooked, whatever, 6-7 years ago, whenever. And I hadn't really thought about marketing in terms of psychology until that point, but the minute you unlock that reality that you are talking to a person, that person has emotion, that you know, that those emotions lead them on a path, you know, marketing started making more sense as opposed to, well, you're just going to put up an ad, you know, that says X, Y, or Z, right?
And there's a bunch of research now. I often called quote Dimasio, which kind of says, you know, we're emotional beings that think, right, in that order. And so that often also becomes a trigger of like just really explaining the fact that most of our decisions are made by the emotional part of our brain and justified by our thinking. And then that kind of unrolls into all the other frameworks that we know in startup now around jobs to be done and things like that. And it's all about, you know, what progress are people trying to make in their lives? what are they hiring your product to do for them? Because really the product doesn't matter. It's, you know, what it allows them to do.
Yeah.
And being able to engage with them in that way. And so, I mean, you know, maybe 95% of the businesses I see around or that are looking for support, you look at their messaging, you look at how they engage with their customers, and so like, we're this and we can do that. And you're like, they don't really care.
No one cares. Yeah, it's what can you do for me?
And actually, the moment the founders and the team in general come to that realization, it really unlocks so much. Because we can talk about being customer-centric all we want. It really starts from there.
Yeah.
Can you forget about your product for a second and talk about what's in it for your customer without naming any features, really?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get deep into some of this stuff, I think, during the main episode. In the meantime, so you founded Marketing Cube. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Who it's for, what stages of companies you work with, what sectors, what geographies?
I mean, you did a great job in the intro. I mean, really ambitious founders and exec teams that are really looking to unlock that growth and establish those good growth processes, and make sure that really it kind of sets them off on their growth journey, or at any inflection point of their growth journey, they're really empowered with that, and the team as well. You know, most of the businesses I work with are around Series A or so, but really I've done work much earlier than that and later in that path. I usually say that growth inflection point where things really need to change, right? Like what it takes to acquire your first 100 customers is a very different ball game than scaling, right? And obviously, you know, finding product market fit in between that. So those are kind of some of the things. Sector-wise, my personal background is very much marketplace and D2C, as you pointed out. The last 4 years, I was really lucky with my portfolio career to be able to work with a lot of great SaaS and B2B brands, even in fintech. Which I really enjoy, because actually, you know, good marketing and foundational psychology applies to any business model. And then obviously there's some tricks of the trade within the business model that then applies as well. So that's kind of the mix. Geography wise, I mean, in the last 4 years, I worked with businesses in the US and Australia and the UK and France and Singapore. So very global. This year, I'm very intentional of doing a bit more work with Portugal, which is a country I've been going to for years. So I feel like, you know, it's about time I did more with their
And a burgeoning and growing startup ecosystem as well.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm hearing Silicon Valley people are moving to Portugal. I was literally shocked.
I'm guessing that's tax benefits.
I'm sure that's contributing. And then also MENA. So, you know, part of my origin is in the Middle East. And again, also very burgeoning ecosystem. So I'm looking to do more with them. So that's the two I'm trying to kind of proactively do more with. But I've done work across. And obviously my language skills kind of contribute to some of that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've seen a lot of stuff happening out in sort of the UAE, really sort of positioning themselves as very forward thinking in terms of technology. And, you know, they've had a lot of, you know, conferences and it's also a large sort of pocket of capital, I think, in the space as well. So completely get it. And you know, North Africa and wider sort of the African continent, we've had, you know, Igosa Omoigwe on earlier, who's a partner at Echo Ventures, you know, just thinking about the opportunity for growth from that continent where, again, you know, you talk about psychology, you're talking about, you know, the highest, you know, it is, by 2025, I think 50% of under 25s will be African. I mean,
That's right.
You know, and those are people with desires and income and, you know, want to be sold to things that can help them in their day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
I think that's really awesome. And if you think about like, three ventures that you've supported or even invested in, because obviously you are an angel, what would they be?
I mean, the businesses with who I kind of started, I guess, my portfolio career where it always will be very dear to my heart. So it happens to be actually a business we're doing really great, which is always good to see. One of my first clients was Ulife. So they're transforming life insurance and really bringing life into this death product. As Sammy says, you know, they're such a mission driven business. You know, I'm really grateful for them kind of entrusting me in that original journey, and, you know, very privileged to have been able able to be kind of there at the foundational moment of defining their value prop and their messaging. And actually, we've done a full rebrand with them, and their current CMO, Lauren, that I know very well, is now building on that foundation. And that's really what, you know, what I love to see. I was also extremely privileged to get to support TED conferences when they were developing their TED at Work L&D SaaS proposition. Again, looking at their go-to-market, figuring out their messaging, really establishing that foundation for them, which was, again, very rewarding and great to see. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other ventures, if you think of something slightly more earlier stage, I was very early on with We Are Jude, founded by Peony Lee. I'm an investor and an advisor, you know, femtech, D2C business, the most, you know, and sexy part of kind of almost health, if you like, but so important, right? And so, again, kind of supporting her and seeing her able to raise in this climate and continuing growing, and obviously being kind of deep in the trenches with her of some of the difficulties that come with it. Very privileged to be able to join her on that journey. And the other ones are Hey Ritual, which is a relationship app, so not a dating app, an actual relationship app. Anyone in long-term relationship will know how much work that is, way more than dating, actually, now you realize. And again, you know, very amazing founders, great proposition. You know, really growing fast. Again, very, very pleased to have been able to advise them along the way.
Amazing. Well, look, I think we're going to get into a lot of detail in the main podcast around some of the stuff you actually directly have done or do. But for the meantime, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.